I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the 909 podcast. It is myself, 909, and Andrea Cleary on our monthly best of the month. We're going to talk about songs that we like and albums that we like. This is what we do once a month. In between the rest of the more topical persuaded podcast episodes, we share and talk about music that we love, and they are among our most popular podcasts.
Are they?
Pretty regularly. They are, yeah. You know nothing
about
the stats.
I don't want to know.
That's fine. We'll keep Andrea Cleary in the dark.
Please.
But if you want to come into the light, why don't you join us on Patreon?
Oh, that was patreon.com/909.
Come into the light with us all. We're currently talking about Succession, the finale. And we decided we'd have a little chat about Succession and the finale. But maybe we won't keep it to the podcast this week. Maybe we might actually, it's going to appear as a Patreon-only special, I think.
Just
a brief chat about whatever transpired at the end of Succession with ourselves. So, if you want to listen to that, patreon.com/909, that'll be there this week. And in the meantime, it's the end of May, which means that we have currently on our playlist to judge by 11 songs that we're going to talk about on this podcast. And some of them reference albums and some of them don't. And one of them is very, very long and seems to be made up of multiple songs. So we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But Andrea, how are you anyway?
I'm good, thank you. I've been enjoying this weather. I went for a little swim yesterday in Sandy Cove and there was the most...
She's one of them.
Yeah. The most amount of seaweed in the water that I've ever in my life experienced, and I didn't like it. Felt like when you wash your lettuce in the sink, but I was in the sink, and it was horrible, and I hated it because I'm a baby, and like I thought that you know you'd eventually grow out of being afraid of seaweed, but you don't. When it touches your leg, it's gross and disgusting, and I hate it so. I'll never be a beach girl.
Yeah, that's fair. I was in Portugal once for a holiday and the beach was lovely, but the only thing it had in the sea was a lot of seaweed. So green everywhere. Do you know what it wasn't good for? Photographs. It looked absolutely gank in photographs. Algae, green everywhere.
And like I'm pro seaweed. Like I believe it's very, very good for marine life, but
it has very good properties for our skin as well.
Absolutely. It's, you know, as long as I can control how much I touch the seaweed, I'm absolutely fine. I've eaten seaweed. I'm fine with it.
I've had a seaweed bath before.
Ooh, like I'm interested in that. I'm open to it. But, you know, when when there's something under the water that you can't see and it touches your leg and it could be, you know, a fish, which I'm also kind of,
Well, you know, that's fine. I get that as well. I don't think you ever really, you're not, you know, you don't transition to full adulthood and then suddenly stop caring about
it's
everything.
It's a fear of the unknown, I think. And it's like, it's, you know, it's, you tell yourself it's only seaweed, but then in the back of your mind, you're like, what if it's not? What if there's something lurking within the seaweed?
I believe there's a relevant succession connection to the sea and seaweed this year. Not seaweed necessarily, well, but certainly the idea that something might touch you or come for you in the sea. It's all interconnected. It's an interconnected subway. All the seas are connected.
Absolutely.
So anything can come get you.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. There's no reason why a shark
so says Roman.
Can't come for me, or one of those whales that are sinking boats off in the middle of the sea at the minute. But yeah, that's how I am. How are you?
Oh, I saw our friend Louise Barker, our PR friend from Cork, is gone viral on TikTok. I must say this to her, actually. She's like millions of views for this video of her in a little boat with a basking shark coming up and bumping against the boat.
Oh,
crazy
I haven't
stuff.
Seen it.
So I've seen that on TikTok. That's something I've seen on TikTok that you haven't.
Cool. Excellent. I've seen nothing on TikTok but terrible, terrible news stories about the lead singer of a band I like and a pop star.
Oh,
I'm so tired now. I can't even talk about it. Like, I'm exhausted.
It's the discourse, everybody.
I just, like, does it ever end the discourse? I'm trying to be a good person.
It's really hard to ignore it because you just keep seeing, even if you just see the headlines.
I liked when only some people knew who he was. And some of those people hated him, and that's fine. But I really preferred when, like, Azealia Banks, for example, didn't know who he was.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. This is Matty Healy we're talking about, of course.
Even say his name. I'm so triggered.
Listen, it's done now. It's only fair in case anybody didn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, sorry.
Don't want to alienate anybody. The whole story is pretty alienating.
Yeah, less anyone knows about it, the better, to be honest. I mean, I'm in the trenches. I chose this life. But, you know, if you're not au fait with it, avoid, run the other way. You don't need to know. Find different discourse. Like, it's all out there for you. Yeah.
Well,
avoid it like
you're not going next week, are you?
I've seen the show already, and I'm not, as you know, I'm not a big outdoor gig person. So I was like, I'll skip out on this one.
Yeah.
But maybe I should go.
1975 play next week.
I know.
In Cork as well, I believe. Caroline Polachek is supporting, although.
Yeah, she would be good to see.
There was questions about whether she actually was this week, but I think she still is.
Did she pull out of a headline show here recently or something?
No, this is the only opportunity in which to see her live in Ireland, supporting 1975 in Dublin and Cork.
Right. Okay.
Next week. So hopefully it's still happening. I believe it will.
Okay.
We won't be here next week to talk about it because we don't have a podcast next week. But
I'm going to Harry Styles and Slane next Saturday. Not this Saturday, next Saturday. So it'll already be a big week for me in the outdoor gig front and in the men I love front. So I actually don't think I could do Harry Styles and Matty Healy in the same week like that.
For Men I Love.
Yeah. For Men I Love, my new album. Anyway.
Right. Okay. Speaking of albums and speaking of people we love and things we love, let us start a new tune, Decider. Would you like to, will we toss a coin? Do you have a kind of coins? Who wants to go first?
You go first, Niall.
Well, there's no coins needed then. Okay, so I'm going to pick the first song I'm going to pick on this month's podcast is from Kieran Hebden, aka Fortet, and William Tyler, and a song called Darkness, Darkness. Now, far being from Kieran Hebden, aka Fortet's recent forays onto Coachella main stages and whatever else, he still maintains and burns bright with the kind of gentler, more ambient leaning stuff. And there's this song called Darkness, Darkness, which is 10 minutes. It features a Nashville guitarist, William Tyler, And apparently there's a whole album of this stuff to come. So let's take a little bit of it here, and I'll tell you about the rest of it when we come back. Yes, that's Kieran Hedren and William Tyler in Darkness, Darkness, the name of that song. It is coming out officially on June 30th, now available digitally. But June 30th on 12-inch single on Sylvanesso, a lockdown brief guest of this podcast back in when that happened. They have a singles imprint called Psychic Hotline, and that features on that. Darkness, Darkness is about 10 minutes long overall. Very, as you can hear, very, very jazzy, kind of psych jazziness with guitar by Tyler. And a sample of Gloria Loring's 1969 version of a song from the Youngbloods, Darkness, Darkness. So
that's a great vocal line.
This is coming out soon.
Like that.
Yeah. It reminds me of like very like DJ Shadow kind of vibes, but, yeah, but with more softer instrumentation and apparently... Yeah, the album is coming, and Ben UFO, the DJ and producer, plays cello on the album, which is a new thing. And there's a Lyle Lovett cover there somewhere. So I hope to finish the record soon, is what he said. And given his fairly prodigious output, I'd say that's probably going to come out like next week.
Yeah.
Probably.
It's kind of like anyway. A machine is our
hero.
Yeah,
he needs to stop.
Yeah. Calm down.
Take a break,
but
man.
Also
take
don't,
a holiday
because we're happy no, to don't. Have it. No. Yeah, I really
he has a new
really
Fortet
like
song as well last month, so it's called Three Drums. So yeah, he's still at it, and released the Brian Eno and Fred Again ambient album as well. So like, calm down, man.
Yeah. Okay, my first pick is from The Boys, Blur. They are releasing a new album. It's very exciting. Dave Rowntree released what I thought was a really excellent album earlier this year, I want to say. It was definitely this year. And that alongside Blur kind of reforming for some live shows, including here on the 16th of June, is it? On like Pride Day. Kind of made the...
You really got to check those things.
I know.
You really got to check them.
I think it's the 16th.
Blur, Dublin.
I know it's definitely on Pride.
24th of June. That's 24th of June.
Oh, is
Pride
it?
Pride is that weekend. Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Surprised you don't know when Pride is. Come on.
I know. I'm a bad queer.
Always end of June.
So, yeah, I guess like with Dave Rowntree releasing the album... I remember thinking like, oh, does this make the prospect of a Blur album like more likely or less likely? I don't know. And then, you know, doing the live shows. Anyway, when they announced that the new album was coming, I was obviously very excited. The Narcissist is the first single from the album, which is called The Ballad of Darren, which is out on the 21st of July. And will be their first album in 8 years. And I really, really, really like the song. And this is it. This is The Narcissist.
I heard no echo. There was distortion everywhere. I found my ego. I felt rebuttal standing there. My transcendence, it played in mono, painted blue. You were the hero, I was the dark room. I'm the shining light in your eyes. You probably shine it back.
Really nice, pleasant track. I really like that they didn't come out the gate with a kind of a big statement song. It's kind of like a, it's like quite quietly a Blur song, but all of the elements are there. Like Damon's taking the lead vocals, Graham with the backing vocals. It's an easy song to listen to. It feels like maybe a bit of an album track, but one of those album tracks that would end up being like one of your favorite songs from an album, if that makes sense. And I really, really like it. Four Lads had this to say about the upcoming album. Damon says, this is an aftershock record, reflection and comment on where we find ourselves now. Very revealing, Damon. Thank you very much. Graham says, the older and madder we get, it becomes more essential that what we play is loaded with the right emotion and intention. Sometimes just a riff doesn't do the job. Alex James says, for any long-term relationship to last with any meaning, you have to be able to surprise each other somehow, and somehow we all continue to do that. And Dave Rowntree says, it always feels very natural to make music together. With every record we do, the process reveals something new and we develop as a band. We don't take that for granted. So it really does feel like they're coming back with like the best of intentions. This isn't just, you know, them phoning it in. They've gone off, obviously done their solo projects, started their cheese farms, whatever it is that each of them wanted to do individually, and that they're now at a stage in all of their kind of individual careers where it makes sense for them to come back and play music together again. And I, for one, am very, very grateful for that, and I'm really looking forward to the new album.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear what it's like. I'd say for me personally, it would probably have to be a bit more exciting than Justice for me to feel.
I agree.
Anything. But interestingly, in their recent warm-up shows tour, this song comes after, in the encore, after Girls and Boys and before Tender. Mm. So interesting. Maybe that's a indication of where they might feel that exists. But who knows?
It has a kind of a repetition to it that I could imagine maybe becoming like, if the fans really do latch onto this song, which they might, seeing as it is like the comeback song, it could be quite anthemic, you know, placed in the right stage in the set list, and like I said, if the fans really embrace it, it could be a really great live tune. But yeah, I agree. I would like more guitars for sure on the album. I'd like to really hear more Graham, as in I'd like some Graham songs on the album where he sings. I think that would be great. It would be lovely to get a Dave Rowntree song on it where he sings, since he was kind of doing his first bit of singing on his album that he released recently. There's so many different ways they can approach this. They can approach it like a straight down the middle Blur record, or they can kind of come back together with the weight of experience that all four of them have kind of sought in like solo ventures, and see what that looks like. And I've a feeling this album will lean more towards the latter, and I think it'll probably be better for it. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it's good.
Absolutely. I hope there's no announcement on who's supporting either yet. That's interesting. But just as well, it wasn't who was announced to play with the London shows. One good one, Self Esteem, and another bad man, or potential bad man, Slow Tie, was announced originally for that. So I think he was taking off all the bills recently, including Fruit.
Yeah,
an ABA festival, so fair enough. But yeah, don't probably think that happened.
Maybe it'll be what are they called? Royal Blood. Is that them? I finally
Royal
watched
Blood,
the video.
Royal Blood. Royal Blood.
I couldn't watch it because it was like people talking about it in the Discord, obviously, and like two other WhatsApp groups I was in. It was sent in with just like cringe, and I find it really hard to watch cringy stuff. I can watch fictional cringe, real cringe I really struggle with. So it took me like a day and a half to watch the video, and I was like, the crowd are fine, like they're absolutely grand.
It's just
that
he's
like,
being an arsehole.
What an asshole. Like, just,
you're playing a festival that's like 20 quid in, sponsored by the biggest radio show or station in the country,
like, and, get over
and
yourself.
You're giving out, you're like, what he says, like, who likes rock music? Yeah. And you're like, oh man, please.
This is rock music. But you can tell he like as soon, like even before he walked on that stage, he decided that they were too good for that crowd.
Well, I guess I should introduce ourselves, seeing as no one actually knows who we are. We're called Royal Blood, and this is rock music. Who likes rock music?
I hear cheers. He says nine people. Brilliant. Okay, well,
Like
you guys.
Like, he was just so ready to be like, oh, we're the rock stars here, because weren't they playing between like Lewis Capaldi and someone else, some other pop act, some other like very mainstream
wasn't
pop
act. Harry Styles or something. Here it's listed here. Niall Horan and Lewis Capaldi.
Niall Horan and Lewis Capaldi. And like, why would you separate them on a bill? Like they're like the overlap of their fans is like that Venn diagram is a circle. If you like Lewis Capaldi, you like Niall Horan. But But yeah, like he decided before going on the stage that he was too good for this crowd, because this crowd were just screaming along to Lewis Capaldi, and Lewis Capaldi is crap. Blah, blah, blah. Ugh, oh, it really bugged me. This is rock music? Is it though?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Well, do you want to hear some rock music from Ireland?
Yes, hey, please.
You want to hear some rock music from Ireland? Okay, let's play my next pick, which is Gurriers.
What is the root of all madness? We are the watching of screens. When phrase become violent, see, eyes never leave their seats. It takes a second to seep in. We don't need to show it.
That was Gurriers, who I saw at Grey Escape last month. Actually, had never seen them before, even though they're a Dublin band. They did very well at that festival, and a lot of packed rooms for the two shows that they did. And good buzz. I really enjoyed what they did. It fits in a lot to the spoken wordy punky English buzz that's happening at the moment. Hence maybe why they were playing in Brighton and doing quite well. They appear to be doing well in terms of live stuff as well. But I enjoyed the song a lot. It's one of those songs that's repeated on me in terms of it stuck, got its claws into me and stuck in a little bit. So I really like what I've heard. They say the vocals, vocalist Dan Hoff says, Sign of the Times examines the human obsession with violence and how we all have become desensitized to the horrors we witness online, to the growth of social media. Anyway, that was a very Alan Partridge ending there for me. So we leave it there with Gurriers from Dublin. Ah, yeah, pricks. Go on.
Just an aside, I absolutely love the word gurrier, and I think it should come back.
Oh, do you know where the etymology of the word gurrier comes from?
I don't, but I'm excited to learn.
Great. I think it's a really good one. Gurriers comes from, my friend Poggy told me this. Gurriers comes from these lads in Dublin who used to go around and collect the leftovers of cakes from shops, and they were... The cakes were girt, and hence these lads were called Gurriers.
What would they do with the leftover cakes?
They'd make them into other cakes, maybe. I don't know.
We love it.
Gurr cakes, like Gurr.
Absolutely love it. Zero waste kings. I love it.
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
Zero waste king.
we should all be gurriers. Get that
we should
trending.
All be gurriers.
The first of two weird little guys I have for this week, and actually for my detractors who say that I only choose women for this podcast, of which there are none, and it's just an internal struggle that I have in my own head. I've actually chosen all men this month, so there.
Is it International Men's Week?
No,
like, what's going
that's
on?
That's in November. I don't know, just men were better this month. Step it up, women. anyway, my first weird little guy in the form of Big Thief guitarist Buck Meek, who has announced a new album called... okay, it's not called this, but I've written in my notes that the album is called Haunted Album.
Ooh.
I think it's called Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Album. Haunted Mountain. You'll
album.
Get there eventually. It sounds these are all places in a Dungeons and Dragons game.
True.
Anyway, for sure. We have to go to the Haunted Mountain.
Oh no.
Haunted we have to go to the Haunted Mansion.
The mountain.
We
that's
have
where
to
we're
go
going.
To the Haunted Album.
Anyway, this song is called Haunted Mountain from the album Haunted Mountain, and it sounds like this.
I was walking through the valley on my own. Darkness all around me. I looked to the sky and saw you. Wreathed all around in a golden cloud.
Weird guy, little guy, number one.
Weird little guy, number one. Buck Meek, he released a really nice album in 2021 called Two Saviors that I really liked. And this will be his first album with his new label, 4AD. I really like this song. I think it's for the Big Thief fans, I guess, in that if you like Big Thief, you'll like this, but different enough that that it's interesting and feels new. Yeah, I really like it.
Nice. And I just realized you got your hair cut.
I did. It's shorter.
I just saw the ends of it there. I was like, oh, something's happened.
Yeah,
something's happened there.
A change has happened. There's less of me now.
Okay.
That's my first weird little guy of the month. Oh, maybe I'll do that as a feature.
Weird.
Andrea's weird little guy of the month.
Okay. All right. My next one is another Dublin band that I saw at The Great Escape, which I've just realized. They're called Brick Nasty, and the song is called Ducks in a Row.
Friends are low, low, fucking like a concert season. The ghost still bleeding. She calls in the evening. I hang up the phone and I bet with the piss so queasy. I know that tongue, I know that tongue, I cause you bite that tongue, hungry as you are, so taste like whiskey. Cause you still that pound, a fist on the lamp when you make a sound. So, cook-a. Ugly, trust.
Those Ducks in a Row from Brick Nasty. They are a Dublin band from Ballymun, led by a mass singer called Fat Boy. And I think if you've heard any of the recorded stuff from the band so far like that, it's maybe not entirely sure what they are. I saw them February originally 2022 in Belfast at Output, which is actually happening this weekend, tomorrow and today, if you're listening Thursday. And yeah, I was just really like, oh, what is this band? They're actually kind of not what I thought, because they're kind of play jazzy. They're really good jazz players. It is producer Fatboy, Killian McCauley, Dara Abderman, Corey Thomas and Louis Young. And they bring kind of a punk spirit to their kind of jazz playing, and I think live when you see them, I think you would really recommend seeing them live. This really fucking works, like in a way that you're like, wow, this band are fucking great. And at Great Escape, they played a 1:15 on the Friday afternoon, a tough slot outdoors, like kind of open in a tent and kind of in the middle of Brighton, and they just knocked it out of the park. They were absolutely brilliant. Really, really, really great. Khaki Kid got up and joined them for the song Fashion that they released recently. They've just been signed to FAM, which is the label that releases Maverick Saber, Any, Georgia Smith. I think it's Maverick Saber's label, maybe, perhaps. So they have their debut EP coming out next week, June 7th. And they're a great band, really, really good. Beyond the Pale, they're playing Beyond the Pale 16th of June in Wicklow and Glendalough, and Other Side Festival as well on July 7th. So I would urge people to go have a look at them and see them soon. Also, if you want more background into the band, Fat Boy's Instagram post on the Brick Nasty Instagram page about growing up in the Ballymun Flats is a really good background piece for what the EP is all about. And that EP is called In a Crueler, I think, as well.
The How EP old is, are they? Same. Are they?
I don't know. Probably in their 20s. I mean, I've never actually seen him in the flesh without his mask on. So I'm not actually sure.
I'm trying to remember when the Flats
Yeah, I'd say they're down. All like mid-20s maybe.
Yeah.
Which?
I'm trying to remember when the Flats came down. I'm like, I don't know why.
Oh,
because I used to live out there, and then I moved. I was kind of born out there and lived out there for like the start of my life, and then I moved. So I always had this
2004.
2004, right. Jesus, there we go.
I start in 2004, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's worth having a look at. A lot about family and community there as well, and informed by that. So I think a lot of the songs are obliquely about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So Brick Nasty, that song is called Ducks in a Row. Now you go.
Now me go. Me go with my second word, little guy? No. Just a guy. I'm not going to call him weird.
I know him. I'll call him a weird little guy.
I wanted to draw attention to Keelan Sherlock's album, but particularly one song from it, which is called The Wheels Come Off, which I believe is the opening track on the album Teenage Jesus. Just a really good album, and this is a great opener and a great song, and I just really love it.
The wheels come off, the wheels, the wheels come off, the wheels, the wheels.
Keelan Sherlock. Just a really lovely sound, really kind of nice Americana sort of sound. I think his voice is so lovely. I think there's a lot of great melodies kind of throughout this album. Reminded me a little bit of the Tandem Felix album that came out in 2020, just in that it's a kind of a very straight up like Americana sort of sound. Some great guitar playing on it as well. Yeah, I just think it's really great. I think it's I haven't seen a lot of places kind of cover it, to be honest. Which is surprising, because it's also a very, very well produced album and great artwork on it as well. So yeah, I just really, really like it. I was enjoying listening to it today with the balcony door swung open and the sun coming in. It was just, yeah, it's a very kind of vibey album. It's lovely.
Yeah, a little bit War on Drugs kind of buzz to
Yeah,
it.
Definitely. Yeah. Kind of fuzzy and
Keelan.
Yeah.
Keelan, of course, is from Cork and involved in the Quarter Block Party as well. So,
yeah. And you and I once propped ourselves up at a bar until the wee hours of the morning chatting with him.
Jesus,
after the podcast festival.
Remember that?
A million years ago.
Remember that?
And had lovely chats about, if you ask me now, God knows what.
I don't know. I just remember.
We certainly
remember
filled
the feel
time.
Of it.
Yeah. It was a great night.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Yes, I just sent you a link there to the CMAT album that's listed on Spin Dizzy.
Oh my God.
John Grant's on it.
What? That's crazy.
Where are your kids tonight? Featuring John Grant.
Where are your kids
tonight?
Please, Seema, you have the opportunity to do the funniest thing imaginable.
Also a song called Vincent Company about the football player.
Where did you send this to me? In this thing?
In the chat there in our video.
Okay. Sorry, everyone. Yeah, bear with me. We're using a new program.
Sorry, that just came up as I hate who I am when I'm horny is one of the name of the songs.
This is very exciting.
Crazy Mad for Me is the name of the album. Interesting.
Such a Miranda.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Such a Miranda.
A little Sex in the City song. That's
Do
great.
Very good. Okay. Bar that side quest to see a new release, I will move on to a track that I heard. And this came through my email and I never even got to write about it yet because of the nature of catch-ups and everything like that. This is from Eyes of Others. The album is called Eyes of Others. And the song called Once, Twice, Thrice.
With my new advice, go once and twice and thrice.
Eyes of Others, that is a producer from Edinburgh called John Bryden. Album was released on Heavenly Recordings on May 19th. The description that is a helpful explainer for this is marrying the anything goes freestyle magpie tendencies of Beck and the Beta Band to the electronic stylings of primetime 80s New Order by way of the spacious moods conjured by King Tubby. Eyes of Others' debut whimsical demeanor is the perfect sonic balm to what? I don't know, because I didn't copy the rest of that text. So
I like it.
We'll just have to imagine.
Yeah.
We'll just have to imagine
perfect
what it is.
Perfect sonic bomb to whatever you can
Google
imagine.
The rest. Oh, it is. Actually, I wanted to include this. The utter confusion of the outside world.
Ah.
As it is, its sense of almost Balearic musical freedom. Wow. It is Balearic. We should do a podcast on Balearia sometime.
Okay.
That is something we should do.
As
part of the ongoing Niall shares knowledge about dance music with Andrea.
Please.
And hopefully she understands more about
what this world
the hell is going on.
But I'm
with
so
most
resistant
of my brain.
To for no reason.
Well, I mean, there's a whole world out there, so, you know.
I know.
It's
I
hard
know.
To... It's
I
hard
like
to,
that tune a lot.
Hard to commit. Yeah, it was nice. I think the album's really nice as well. There's some weird stuff on it. Some of it reminds me of, you know, 80s, 90s, outsider forgotten music. Fujian Miyagi, a lot of dub. There's a bit like a baggy influence as well. Electronic music of the 90s, some psychedelic lo-fi kind of Mazzy Star stuff as well. Maybe some folky stuff. Introspective club music. In a way, I think Eyes of Others and John Bryden himself called it post-pub, couldn't get into the club music.
Oh, I like said, that.
I was thinking, where's my spot? The music is later than a gig, but it's not full on early morning club fare. It's the in-between space between where I was imagining, where my music works. So in
That's
that case,
cool.
It seems like that might be where you're at the club and maybe you leave and you're like, I'm actually going to go home. Mm. And then this is the music you listen to on the bus on the way home.
I like that. I like that a lot. So that's a kind of a space that I enjoy, the leaving the party and either, like, you always hear the best tunes like in the taxi on your way home, or like it's a funny mood you find yourself in when you leave a party early or you leave like the pub and you're like, oh, I don't want to listen to like my normal stuff. Let's listen to something a bit. Like, I can look out the window and be a bit sad and be the main character for a bit.
Yeah.
It's nice.
This is definitely giving that kind of vibe for sure.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Okay, my ultimate weird little guy. He's back. I'm so excited. Paul Simon, his 15th album, Seven Psalms. Is it an album? Is it not an album? You know, it remains to be seen. It's a 7-part acoustic performance, we'll say. Designed to be listened to in its entirety. The idea for it came to him in a dream.
Mm.
I love him so much. And he would wake up in the middle of the night to write the songs. It's supposed to be listened to as a single piece, but we're going to kind of butcher that convention now and play a clip just from the opening song. You can just play like the opening couple of minutes. But I would really recommend listening to the whole thing, maybe on a walk. Maybe in the middle of the night, whichever, whenever the spirit moves you. So yeah, this is the opening of Paul Simon's 7 Psalms.
I've been thinking about the great migration. Noon and night they leave the flock, and I imagine their destination, meadow grass, jagged rock. The Lord is my engineer, the Lord is the earth I ride on, the Lord is the face in the atmosphere. Half I slip and I slide on.
Even just listening to that like small clip of it, like, he's 81 and my God, can he still play that guitar? And I think his voice sounds really great. He definitely sounds older, but it's still there. It's still strong. He still has this great kind of like commanding presence. And, you know, just opening with a line like, I've been thinking about the great migration. I'm like, oh, here he is. He's back. You know, he's always thinking about the great migration is our Paul. And yeah, so he says about it, this whole piece is really an argument I'm having with myself about belief or not. So it's very kind of wrapped up in questions about spirituality and God. And, you know, he's at an age where these things are, maybe a bit more prescient, or he has enough experience and wisdom now to kind of contemplate them, would have been a nuance. And obviously being one of, if not the best American songwriter of the 20th century, he's able to convey that really powerfully and yet subtly. It's a really, really, really beautiful piece, and each of the songs kind of blend into one another really well. It doesn't, there doesn't feel like there are too many points where you're like, okay, I can dip out here. It's kind of like you're sitting down for the 30 odd minutes, whatever it is, 33 minutes or something like that. 33 minutes and 2 seconds. It ends really beautifully. Well worth spending a half an hour with, for sure. And I think I'll be listening to this album a lot over the summer. It's not a summer album, but it's, you know, for me.
Yeah. For you.
For me.
Absolutely. Okay, that's allowed. All right, well, I'll pick another one then.
Okay.
There's a band from Brooklyn called Water From Eyes is what they're called. They have an album out called Everyone's Crushed. And let's play a bit of it because I don't know if this is even typical of what the band's in. My best friend is lost out here on the sprawl. So it's Water From Your Eyes. That is a song called Out There from their album Everyone's Crushed. Yeah, they are Rachel Brown and Nate Amos. They have an album out on Matador. That's what it's on Matador, that album. And they had a song called True Life that was the one that I responded to first. Much more fizzy, angular guitar rock kind of stuff. But actually, the album is kind of all over the place in a nice way. It's real fizzy. It's very eclectic in its tone. It's not strictly guitar music. It's not post-punky, even though that sounds a bit post-punky. It's not necessarily electronic music either. It's kind of oddball music. Some of it sounds like Dan Deacon, and some of it reminds me of Gang Gang Dance, people like that. Mm. It's very erratic and polychromatic as well. Very sonic-led as opposed to song-led. I really like what I've heard from it so far. It's a weird little album. Awesome. Sometimes we have weird little guys. Sometimes we have weird little albums. So there we go.
Excellent. Okay, we're into our golden oldie section, are we?
The golden oldie section. Lovely. Wow.
Okay, who I'll knew? Go first on my golden oldie this month. It's no secret that I always struggle to pick something, but I was listening to this song this morning. It's a bit of a summer song for me. I don't know why. I just become like a hooligan in the summertime. I don't, but I imagine myself as one. This is The Fall, and it's Theme from Sparta. Shepherd boy, everybody sing. I will be my soil. So
that's a fall.
That's wow. a fall. So Sparta FC is a kind of fictional football song for a fictional football team called Sparta FC, Greek football team, and it's, I guess, sung from the point of view of one of their hooligans. It's just there's a great moment in it where there's singing like English Chelsea fans, this is your last game, and it's just like it's so raucous and just great, just that energy that Marquis Smith just kind of always has, but brought to like the realm of football hooliganism. I'm always after like a proper Sparta FC like white jersey, that also makes it clear that it's like a fall reference. But
I never is there one?
I don't know. Oh. I don't know. I mean, there's kind of
seems like the kind of thing that Turbo Island might do.
It's kind of it's one of those things where I'd probably end up buying like a real football jersey by accident or something, because I don't really know much about football jerseys. So, but yeah, it's just
like
a great song.
I like a weird football jersey.
Yeah, it yeah, it's just great. There's a lot of kind of like nonsense lyrics that you can't hear in it as well. It's just like kind of just typical fall stuff.
Yeah,
that's great, great tune. Does.
Although I have to say, they're kind of a bit of a blind spot for me. I don't really know as much as I'd like, probably because there's just a lot of albums. There's 31 albums.
Yeah, it's a lot of albums.
That's a lot. And every time I hear songs like that, there's that, what's the Check the Record one I really like as well?
Like the Fall aren't a band that Check the Record. I've
new Prince, sorry. Yeah.
They're not a band that where I've like listened to every one of their, like by any means, every one of their albums, but they're a band that I have like a kind of maybe 10 or 15 like core songs that I just always listen to. And I love those songs, you know, and I loved Marquis Smith and his like vibe, I guess. he was the last of an old guard, you know. He was kind of we can't really have people like him anymore, you know. And there was a sort of
like crack the whip.
Yeah, yeah. There was a sort of kind of raw madness in him that just came out in his music. And yet he also wrote like some really, really beautiful poetic like lyrics during his time with the Fall. And yeah, they're a really interesting band. Maybe I'll explore more of their albums and do a Fall episode, but I definitely have to get my little research hat on and listen to more of them to do it. But why not?
Absolutely.
As good an excuse as any.
That would be good. I'd love that. Okay. Our final choice in terms of golden oldies.
Golden oldies.
Goes from all the way back to, sorry.
No, just excited by the phrase golden oldies. Don't mind me.
Golden oldies. It goes all the way back to 2010, a mere 13 years ago.
Don't say it.
With an act called Glasser and a song called Mirage.
I'm still
weird refracted music from Glass there, a song called Mirage from the album Ring from 2010. I don't know what happened last week. I just suddenly got a urge to listen to that song. And so I did, because modern conveniences allow us to do that. And that is Cameron Mesereau. Producers on that album are Van Rivers and the Subliminal Kid, who did stuff with Fever Ray, I think. So it's kind of like a weird, like off-kilter electronic pop album in a way, very much set up so that she can sing over it.
It has a kind of a Fever Ray sound to me. I don't know this band.
Yeah, I mean, but... they did. Van Rivers and Savunka did produce Fever Ray stuff as well, okay. I think, originally. So it's kind of a bit of a tropical pop, some tribal percussion. I think I have a quote from a Pitchfork review here, which says exactly that. She incorporates bits of tropical pop, tribal percussion, and a couple of different strains of electronic music. Her songs sidestep traditional linear arrangements for a more open, circular approach. They kind of swoosh around without pausing at verse chorus intersections. Interesting as this is, the main draw of Mesereau's music is her voice. Warm and flexible, she can bend it into suit different moods and tempos, and I'd fairly agree with that. It kind of feels sometimes like it's being broadcast from some sort of weird Tron city or something. Mm-hmm. It's quite futuristic in a way that kind of maybe feels a little bit like it was retro futuristic, mm-hmm, as well. So I really like that. That was a Glass or Mirage. I don't even know. I don't have a reason to pick that. She had a song out last year as well. So she's still making music. Cameron Mesereau. New Scars was the song from last year, but that album called Ring from 2010 is brilliant. I would recommend a revisit if you're interested in that.
Great. So obviously we're going to be taking our television chat, our Succession chat, over to a bonus pod on the Patreon feed. But do you have any other business with regards to films or books or other media from this month?
Yeah, well, a few other honorable mentions in terms of music, some stuff that I listened to that I enjoyed. Mandy Indiana's album, I've Seen a Way, Manchester band, kind of reminds you a little bit of Health. Or something like that, kind of weird mix of a cool mix of electronic and rock music. Bellex One album, Merciful Hour.
Haven't got to it yet, but I saw you.
I really like it. Yeah, I really like it. I thought there's great singing on it as well. I think, I've forgotten his name.
Paul Noonan.
Paul Noonan is he's doing things with his voice that I've never heard before in a way that I think is really lovely. And then Pale Blue, an album from Mike Simonetti and a vocalist whose name I cannot remember because I remember him, but I don't remember who that is. I'm going to tell you now. Mike Simonetti used to be involved in Italians Do It Better until he had an acrimonious split. That didn't work out so well, but this is working out really well. I really like what I've heard from Pale Blue. Is there an actual... Yes. Elizabeth White is her name, formerly of, or maybe of, the band Silver Hands that I've never heard of. Pale Blue, anyway, there's lots of cool, weird spoken word and spoken electronic music on that as well, Pale Blue. And then The Bonk, the album Greater Than Equal to The Bonk. The Bonk are a weird, weird band from Ireland, and you should listen to them. The other one that I definitely liked lyrically, and I really like, I was going to pick one of the songs from it for this, called Shortstop from Maya Folick. She has an album out called Roach, which is really interesting. I think lyrically is where she's really doing it for me, and Maya Folick, so that's worth checking out as well. So
cool.
Yeah,
I've one other honorable mention. The BC Camplight album, The Last Rotation of Earth. I reviewed it on Arena earlier this month. I liked it. I wasn't as taken with it as a lot of other people were, but it got a lot of 5-star reviews around the place. But I found enough in it to enjoy, but I'm just going to recommend it here just in case other people enjoy it as much as everyone else is, and don't take me as the barometer. But very interesting album, kind of a concept album, quite funny in stages. I'd say fans of Father John Misty would like it. A bit wry. I enjoyed that. And then elsewhere, I don't think I watched a single film this month except for I went to the IFI to see Bong Joon-ho's The Host. It was being screened as part of a festival there. And it was my second time seeing it, first time in the cinema. And it just, like, my God, does it look so great on the big screen. I was really expecting the monster to look shit on the big screen. Like, you can't really, like, hide behind your special effects when it's on a cinema screen. But I mean, it was shown in 35mm, so maybe that was part of it. But, like, it's still just as, like, exhilarating and terrifying and moving and brilliant. I think it's, like, it's on par with Parasite for me. Like, they're very, very different films, but I think it's the perfect monster film. There's not another monster film I'd take over it, which is maybe controversial, but probably not. But God, it's absolutely perfect. If anyone hasn't seen The Host,
it's great.
Like, really make it your business to watch it as soon as possible. And I mean, like, I'm not sure if you remember or how long ago it is you saw it, but there's a bit in it.
It was a lockdown watch for me, I think.
There's a bit in it where they're in the sort of the like quarantine area, and the family are crying over the loss of the little girl. And a guy comes in a yellow suit, and he, like, slips and falls, yeah, and then stands back up as if nothing happened. And, like, I remembered the first time I watched it, I absolutely howled and had to pause the film because I was laughing so much at that. And it got such a big laugh in the screen. And I was so happy. But yeah, amazing performances throughout it. And just, yeah, like I said, just like the stuff that monster films are supposed to be, just so human and existentially complex and brilliant. Yeah, it's great. And then book-wise, I've been reading, I'm currently in the middle of Nisha Dolan's second book, The Happy Couple, which is the follow-up to Exciting Times, which I'm really enjoying. I like Nisha Dolan. I liked Exciting Times a lot, and I'm enjoying The Happy Couple. I'd say I'm about 3/4 of the way through it now. It follows the run up to a wedding from the point of view of various different characters, from the couple themselves, from a maid of honor / sister, from an ex, and then it's all at the bit I'm at now, it's all starting to converge, and there's a question as to whether or not the wedding is going to go ahead. So it's very exciting. It's definitely like a page turner. I'm really enjoying it. I read a great book this month called Everything's Fine by Cecilia Rabes, I think it's pronounced. I'll have a review in the Business Post Sunday week of it, but it's gotten a lot of attention on, like, book talk. There's discourse around it. Actually, as has another book I'm going to mention, it follows a woman who is Black and works at Goldman Sachs and is kind of entering the finance world, and a man who is a Republican and works in Goldman Sachs and is entering the finance world, and their relationship with one another. They fall in love, and it's in the sort of the years, it follows them through the years running up to the Trump campaign. And it's just really, like, I don't know. It just feels like it's really doing something, like, properly good with that idea. You know, it would be very easy for that idea to not be executed well, and for you to kind of humanize people who shouldn't be, or to, you know, overly wokeify it or whatever. But it's just great storytelling. Very, very good. And then the other one I'd mention in that vein is Yellowface by Rebecca F. Kwang, I think, which you might have seen the cover of it. It's just like a yellow cover with two eyes. And that's about, also deals with race and America. That's about a woman who is sort of frenemies with a author who is Asian American, and the Asian American author dies, and this woman who is white steals her work in progress manuscript and publishes it as her own. And it's about the kind of the fallout of that. And it's absolutely delicious. It is such a good book. Like, it's properly, really, really page turning stuff. The main character, who is also like the first person narrator, is just like utterly reprehensible. Like, if you enjoy hating the person that you're reading, it's really, really great. And it deals with its subject matter in such a like kind of biting, smart, witty way. And I loved it. And then another shout out to the book Social Capital by Aoife Barry, which really, really enjoyed this month. Very illuminating about the kind of the Ireland's relationship with tech in terms of, you know, our economy, but also it's a personal reflection on how it's kind of, it's changed the landscape of Dublin City, but it's also a personal reflection from Aoife's point of view of kind of having grown up in the internet. And she documents a kind of a stalking case that she was part of. And
I read that Irish Times interview with her with Patrick Crane. I had no idea that it happened.
It was a case with five women, and I know a few of them, but it's not something that any of them have really written about. I think Aoife's the only person that's written about it. I saw her speak at the International Literature Festival in Merrion Square with friend of the show Dean Van Wyn. She was in conversation with Rory Hearn, who is the housing activist that you've definitely seen online, who's doing great work with housing. Yeah. And they had a really interesting conversation about tech and the, you know, the Silicon Docks and the changing face of Dublin and social media and how those things converge. So yeah, I'd really recommend Social Capital. And I saw on Twitter that she is currently working on a novel set in Dublin as well. So absolutely delighted for her. Yeah, she's a great gal. So yeah, those are absolutely some of the books I've read this month. I'm actually also reading, I kind of just started it, it's for research, a book called Gaga Feminism. So I'll report back on that next month, but there's very interesting stuff in there, I think. I will also be recommending it to our pal Louise Bruton, because I think she would love it, who also had a byline in Vogue this week. So amazing stuff for Lou Brew. Woo! But yeah.
Yes. We'll be chatting to Alubru's forthcoming event guest, Michael Craig, very soon.
Very exciting stuff.
About his, he has a book out as well called, I have to remember what it's called, because I started this, Reach for the Stars, about pop music from 1996 to 2006. We'll be talking to him about that soon. And Alubru is putting on an event called Smash Hits Poll Winners Party, I think, isn't it? Ash, it's
in Wigwam, I believe.
Wigwam, yeah. So Smash Hits Poll Winners Party. Mike Craig will be there talking about pop music of the era, and then Lubru will be DJing after a Y2K pop dance party afterwards from Lubru. So more on that soon, but yeah, that is on sale right now. Okay. Well, that's it from us this week, I reckon. But if you want more from us, jump on over to the Patreon, where you'll hear us talk about the Succession finale. It's like a chiptune version. Okay, that's it from us. We won't be here next week because I'm away.
Yes.
So, yes.
We'll see you after great. That.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.